The paperwork has been filed and Donald Trump is officially seeking election 2024 to become America's president once again. Also in Poland, a missile landed, and Poland claims it was a Russian missile that killed two people. This complicates things because as a part of NATO, an attack on any NATO ally requires response from all of NATO to defend them. Could this be the Gulf of Tonkin moment? What happened? We'll discuss what this means and whether or not our involvement in NATO is even constitutional to begin with, since war powers are supposed to rest solely in Congress. And I'm not done with FTX either. Sam Bankman-Fried, I've got more information today. Yesterday was an absolute barn burner, one of my most shared episodes ever. But today, you're going to want to pay attention, because it's not just the Democrats. It's the Republicans too, and I've zeroed in on which Democrats and which Republicans we need to investigate. Sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee, or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Welcome back, Bold Americans. We have an action-packed show for you today. We'll start right off with what I teased at the beginning. Donald Trump, he went to Mar-a-Lago, invited about 250 people from the press, had about 1,000 people in the room. It was draped with the typical Donald Trump look of American flags as his backdrop. Really had the pro-patriotism type of look to it. He came out. He did a couple laps around the podium before getting started. His song played Proud to Be an American. That's kind of a staple at a lot of his rallies. And then he gave a speech where he stated that we need to put America first again. And I'll go through a little bit of those words that he said during it as we cover this today. So Donald Trump, one of the most anticlimactic moments, probably. He has been teasing this now for the past month, and then last week he announced this date that he would be making a very large announcement that people would want to listen to. Some people had stated that perhaps this would be the Speaker of the House moment, that he was willing to run. It would have lined up actually really well with what happened. Others stated that it was going to be a presidential run, and that seems to be exactly what he did. The paperwork has been filed now. It's online to officially begin the process to run for president. His filing number is FEC 1661550, if anybody wants to look it up. And his campaign will be managed out of Arlington, Virginia. And there is an email for him, trump@redcurve.com. And so I like to look at these filings so I can figure out what is being put on this document. Is there any information that people would find interesting? Well, redcurve.com is a comprehensive technology-driven solutions website for political campaigns, party organizations, or PACs. And so this is for state parties, 501c4s, and other nonprofits. And for all I know, many politicians use RedCurve. I don't know if there are other products out there for people to sign up for. But I thought it was interesting that this is who Donald Trump will be using in order to manage all of the PACs, the organizations, and everything else of what's going to be happening. Certainly, this is very well organized. Also, you'll see that they have a FEC committee ID number, C00828541, which states that it's Donald J. Trump under the Republican Party seeking the office of presidency. Nothing too big there. Affiliated committees was Trump Save America. So that was his joint fundraising committee, Trump Save America. And so that will be where we get probably a lot of the fundraising that's going to come through. It might even be part of a tagline that we're going to see here rather soon as well. So that's of interest. The custodian of record is Bradley T. Crate. He is going to act as the treasurer for this campaign. So let's start there. Who is the treasurer, Bradley T. Crate? Well, if you're worried about finances with Trump, it seems like he has gone with Red Curve all the way, because this is the founder of Red Curve, where it's trump@redcurve.com is the email, not just for the statement of organization that was filed, but also for the treasurer side. So this is a very tight campaign already, is the way that it's organized and making sure that everything is going to go smoothly. Now, to the speech. First, before he announced that he was going to run for president, I've been speaking with a ton of people trying to find out what the pulse is of America on Trump being reelected, or Trump even just throwing his hat into the ring. And many people state that they're burnt out by politics right now. They want less craziness. They want less divisiveness. They just want people that are some common sense people, some critical thinkers that are going to get us through to the other side. And Trump, to them, represents a lot of the crazy, the drama, the constant bickering that we saw in politics. And so many people are not excited about this announcement. So that was the first thing that I heard. Now, I also spoke with some younger people who stated, well, I hope he runs and I hope he gets in just to mix things up some more. And I said, well, isn't that kind of part of what's wrong with America right now to begin with? You know, we shouldn't be looking to create more drama. So I think first and foremost, I don't know that Donald Trump is electable in 2024. He's going to need a major rebrand, a major image change, a makeover, so to speak. And his speech last night, when he got out on stage, was calm. It stuck to the talking points of the failures of the Biden administration and where his administration had left things before he left office, what the finances look like for inflation, what job numbers look like despite COVID, where kind of the economy was, and then where things are now. And I felt that he made a solid case. I would challenge some of what he stated as far as overly inflating his accomplishments. I believe that some of his statements will not pass the fact check fully, but the general consensus of his message, I thought, was one that painted him a little bit more on an even keel, but I don't believe it was enough to rehabilitate his image and make him electable to the broad electorate around the country yet. His main statement was, when he announced, he said, "In order to make America great and glorious again, I am tonight announcing my candidacy for president of the United States." And people all started to clap and applaud. He says, "I am running because I believe the world has not yet seen the true glory of what this nation can be. We will again put America first." Now, I'm all for putting America first. That's kind of a lot of what my show is about, and I don't think that my show is aligned completely at all with Donald Trump. When I say put America first, what I just mean is I put people in America before politics. And if that is going to be the kind of rebrand message of Donald Trump, that could be popular. That could be a moment for him to kind of seize on. He didn't attack like he normally attacks indiscriminately throughout most of his message from what I heard. I did miss the very end of it, but he stayed kind of on point the entire time. Many are wondering whether or not Governor Ron DeSantis is going to run for presidency. And he tried to make this very clear in his speech. I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something along the lines of, "We don't need a politician right now. We need a movement." Well, I think those are dangerous words for Donald Trump right now, because I think that right now there's going to be a lot of people on the Democrats going, "We don't need that movement. Our leader, Joe Biden, has just called that movement, the MAGA movement, a bunch of terrorists." So we are going to have two completely opposing sides at this point, but we are still so far from an actual election right now, I'm not sure it matters. There are 721 days until the election. And if my memory serves me correct, the way this works, first and foremost, probably over the next 6 months, we'll have a bunch of people start to say, hey, I intend to run for president. Then after that, we'll start beginning the primary process of figuring out who will represent the Republican Party. Will Joe Biden run again? Who will represent the Democrat Party if he's not going to run again, which I expect him to if Trump is running again. And from there, we'll whittle this down to the main candidate. And then the main candidates will start squaring off in those final 6 months. So we are still a year out from having some of these major conversations. So why so soon, Donald? Why make this announcement now? Why be first? Well, part of it could be the indictment watch that's been going on. If somebody's running as the political opponent against Joe Biden, it wouldn't look too favorable to go through the indictment process. It would be seen as a political attack. Mark my words, the political attacks are not going away. They're going to ramp up even more, probably starting today. I'm sure you're going to see some headlines start to drop to try to scare him out of this race. It's not going to work, but they're probably going to try to scare people into, hey, you know what? This guy can't win. He's unelectable because of all these legal probes that we have going on with him. Some of those legal probes may also be valid. We should remember that as well. I know it doesn't make me popular to say that to some of my audience, but the truth of the matter is that some of the legal issues could possibly stick. Not everything has been Russiagate or illegitimate investigation. Some of this stuff is completely legitimate. So is Trump announcing this now to stay out of legal trouble? Is Trump announcing this now to have influence over where the party's going within the next 2 years? Or is he really in it to win it the entire way? And what type of support does he have from other Republicans? I'm hearing reports right now that many of the large donors in the Republican Party are saying to Donald they will not be backing him this time. That he should not expect any money from them, that they have a different idea of who they would like to see lead the party for the presidency. So he certainly has an uphill battle to climb. But rest assured, the headlines now are going to get very interesting every single day, because when Donald Trump is running for president, the media will start their attacks. Right now we have Attorney General Letitia James that sued Trump for what she claims was decades of fraudulent bookkeeping. Now, keep in mind that was a civil lawsuit. There still has not been any criminal charges that were filed. We have the documents down in Mar-a-Lago where the FBI did their raid. We still haven't heard anything regarding that. We have the Justice Department in Georgia investigating the overturning of election results and the phone call that the Trump campaign made, trying to say, just get me these votes. Make sure you get these. There's going to be a lot of things thrown at him, and I'm sure he already knows this. So this is going to be one of the largest stories. Now, in just a few moments after the break, we're going to talk briefly about what happened in Poland yesterday. It's going to be important because it could lead us into World War III. And Donald Trump talked about that tonight, how we need to we need to walk very gently across this floor because the floorboards are getting pretty squeaky and we don't want to wake up to everybody fighting. And whether NATO can even tell the United States legally, would we be breaking our own constitution by getting involved in these matters right now? This is all going to get very interesting. And then after that, I need to tell you about the FTX and what I'm uncovering. So we'll get right back to all that in just a few moments. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everybody. So if you're following the news yesterday, there was a small village in Poland that was hit with a missile where two people passed away. And Poland responded by calling NATO and G7 to plot a response against Putin, stating it was Russia that caused this blast. It was a Russian missile. It was their technology. Now, Biden has said it's unlikely that the missile was fired from Russia, but he's vowed to figure out exactly what happened. So either this missile was from Russia or was not from Russia. What we believe is explainable is that a Russian-made missile fell, a Russian-made missile, killing two citizens. That does not mean Russia was the ones that fired the missile. The president was more cautious. He said it was most probably Russian-made, but added, it's a difficult situation. Biden, when speaking to reporters in Indonesia at the conference, said it was unlikely in the minds of the trajectory that the missile was fired from Russia. So they needed to figure out exactly what happened. I'll tell you what happened. There are people that are so desperate right now for us to get into a global war. I've been covering this on my show. There are people that have really bad intentions that do not have you and I at heart. At this point in history, most people are aware of what a false flag operation is. It is an act that's committed to disguise the actual source of responsibility in order to pin blame on that other party. It goes all the way back to the 1500s. And this was used in many times for war purposes, propaganda, to create enemy nations, a pretext for causing military aggression to kind of ramp up what needed to happen. Now, there have been many false flag operations. One of the most recent false flag operations would have been Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin, where there was a legitimate attack on August 2nd, but on August 4th, for whatever reason, we ended up lying about it and saying that there was another attack. And there were four people that ended up getting killed, six additional that were wounded during that attack. But that got us into more conflict in Vietnam at that point in time, back in 1964. We also have this used in warfare, false flags. We see this repeatedly in our history. So some of the different ones we had, World War II in 1939, Heydrich fabricated evidence of a Polish attack against Germany to mobilize Germans' opinion for war and to justify the war with Poland. It never happened, but it worked really well in order to get people into the war. In 1939, the Soviet Army shelled Manila, which was a Russian village near the Finnish border. But the Soviet authorities blamed Finland for the attack as a pretext to invade Finland, starting the Winter War. But it was actually Russia that bombed themselves. We also have the Russian invasion of the Ukraine just this past year in February. The days that led up to it, Russia said that, oh no, here's what's really happening. We have Ukrainian forces attacking Russia, and this was to try to justify their invasion of the Ukraine. So with a long history of this being used and our own CIA in our documents showing that we've used these false flag operations that get us into wars and the overthrow governments, it's plausible, extremely plausible right now, that we should pause before we just go, yeah, Russia just threw a missile into Poland and killed two people. Especially when there was this quick rush to say, oh, this was a Russian thing. And then Biden comes out and goes, you know what? It's really unlikely this was fired from Russia because we have the trajectory of the missile. Now, how do we have the trajectory of the missile? Well, if there is a missile defense system, and I believe there is in Poland, I believe we help pay for it by NATO. If there is also lots of radar going on in that region right now because we're monitoring what's happening in the Ukraine, I believe the United States knows exactly what's happening. So why is this a problem? Well, Article 5 of the NATO-Washington Treaty stipulates that if any of our allies is the victim of an armed attack, each and every other member of the alliance considers the act of violence as an armed attack against all members and needs to take action it deems necessary to assist the ally attacked. This could draw us all into a global conflict. This is a very delicate subject right now. We have a constitution. The constitution gives Congress the authority for war, not NATO. And I've been something that's bothered me for a while is our agreement with NATO. I believe we should have strong allies around the world. But I don't believe we should be meddling in other countries' affairs, sending money that other people can money launder, which we'll get back into in just a few moments. But we shouldn't be into the foreign affairs of other places. Let people fight their own wars. If it's really going to hurt our self-interest, then we can talk about getting involved. Or if it's really harming humanity, then we can help out to make sure that humanity is not harmed on such a grave and dangerous level. But I'm very concerned about what's going on in Poland right now. They're saying that the debris has a resemblance of components from the S-300 air defense system employed in the Ukraine, though no conclusive proof was found. This is, you know, just really irresponsible of what Poland is doing right now. Now, I'm sorry for the two people who lost their lives as a result of this attack. Again, as I was trying to say, is like just two people. Well, that's a horrible loss of life, but please, I hope we're not rushing into World War III over the loss of two people in Poland. That might sound absolutely harsh. That might sound heartless, but that's how I feel. Now, also Ukraine yesterday, I was making the case about money laundering through FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried, who was the CEO of FTX that collapsed. I got more info. Some people reached out to me and they said, hey, Greg, you may want to look into Mitch McConnell because you're putting a lot of blame on the Democrats here and how much money. But are you aware that FTX actually ran two different branches buying out parts of our Congress. And I said, no, I was unaware of this. They said, oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't just Sam who was going and giving money. He actually had another executive at FTX. His name was Ryan Salome. And Salome donated $20 million to the Republicans. Not just that, but they were trying to convince Congress that crypto was the future and to remain unregulated and that they would be able to do things properly. And when they were doing so, they focused on certain committees in Congress. And so I'm going to give you the names of the people that have been implicated by my sources, people that have been implicated in possibly taking money or taking donations. Let me make this clear. I don't want to get myself in trouble. I don't know that they took any money. Taking donations and having money invested in the FTX, which, let's make it very clear, it was in the Bahamas on purpose in order to get around the code of the United States. I also want to make it very clear to the listeners right now, I support open source cryptocurrency. I support blockchain currency that is not controlled, that is completely unregulated by any government, because I thought that was the allure and the awesome thing about cryptocurrency was the fact that there were no regulations, the government couldn't track it, that had the ability to completely give people freedom. And that scares the absolute crap out of politicians and the Federal Reserve and the world's governments, including the WEF. They have to find a way to reel this all in. Well, they have an operative now, and that operative has just crashed a $38 billion company, FTX, and given Congress the ability now to write in these regulations in order to steal control. So who was the people that were giving money and going? I'm going to start with Republicans first today. If I list their name, please understand this is an ongoing investigation, but I know for a fact that these people on this committee were in touch with FTX and have received money and communications campaigns or things that they're into and or have invested into FTX and crypto. Let's start first with Mitch McConnell. That's right, the Republican from Kentucky. Your hands are dirty with this money laundering scheme, and you cannot claim ignorance that you didn't know how crypto worked because these people met with you repeatedly trying to explain why they should be trusted. And you apparently trust them so much that you put money into FTX. So Mitch McConnell, you rhino, I'm looking at you. Let's get this investigation started. North Dakota, John Hoeven. Joni Ernst in Iowa. Cindy Hyde-Smith in Mississippi. Roger Marshall in Kansas. Tommy Tuberville, Republican of Alabama. Chuck Grassley. That's right, Charles Grassley, the other Republican in Iowa. It's interesting. You know, you've really diversified your funds in the crypto. Who would have guessed? John Thune in South Dakota, Deb Fisher in Nebraska, and finally, Mike Braun in Indiana. I'm going to be investigating, but right now, what I'm asking our lawmakers, what I'm asking citizens to do, it's time we open source this. What have these individuals been doing with FTX, and what is their plan, and are they globalist? Are any of these individuals tied to the WEF? Are any of these individuals also planning to sell us out to a digital currency? And this is their plan. They have FTX collapsing now, and it's the perfect moment for us to need to have regulations and for the Federal Reserve, right after they've done their testing with all the major banks I talked about. That's right. Put this all in. Now on the Democrat side, here's some additional names we should pay attention to. Cory Booker. Now, Cory Booker, interestingly enough, is also a young global leader of the WEF. Cory, what are you involved with FTX, and what have they promised you, or what have you invested in? Raphael Warnock from Georgia, Ben Ray Lujan from New Mexico, Richard Durbin from Illinois, Tina Smith from Minnesota. Here's one, Gillibrand in New York. That's right, tied with FTX and has been meeting with them. Now, I don't know. I've got to tell you guys, I'm doing the research right now, see how clean they all are. But right now, these are the names we need to pay attention to. A couple more people. Michael Bennett in Colorado. Oh, Amy Klobuchar. I never say her name right. Amy Klobuchar. There we go. I think I said it better that time. The presidential candidate. Interesting, Amy. And you also had an interesting background as a business leader, finance person. So it's interesting you're tied up in this. Sherrod Brown from Ohio and Patrick Leahy from Vermont. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the Republicans and Democrats that quite possibly Sam Bankman-Fried has all the dirt on. This committee of the United States Agriculture was the focus, the Senate Agriculture Committee, that was the focus of Bankman-Fried. He was meeting with them. He was trying to convince them that they needed to aggressively push to pass crypto-friendly laws and policies. And they loved him. They absolutely loved him. And as a result, they allowed him to speak for the entire crypto industry. Now, this is all coming out right now in my research. You can find some stories online, too. Don't just take my word for it. You're going to want to research this as well. But if you're on my list right now, if you are on those committees, well, that committee with those individuals, are you aware that this guy that you've been meeting with has a sex island like Jeffrey Epstein had in the Bahamas? Were you part of this because you knew that if FTX collapses, this would be a regulation call for Congress where people would say, please help save us. Millions of people just lost all their money. And all of a sudden we'd bring in regulations which would allow for digital currency to become mainstream. Huh. Perhaps we're being sold out by these individuals. Perhaps we need a cleaning of our house. Not just a cleaning of our house in the election coming up in 2024, but we need to pay attention to who the globalists are, who are the people selling out our interest, and how are all these stories connecting the dots together? Ukraine is connected to FTX. Biden is heavily connected to FTX and the Ukraine through Winter Automotive, through the Ford dealership that he helped set up over there, through his son, Hunter Biden, and what he was involved in through the former president, and now money funneling back through and FTX trying to raise. And the politicians that knew that this whole thing was all going on in the background and turning a blind eye, both Republican and Democrat. Shame on you all. Look, once again, I support crypto. I support keeping it completely unregulated. You know the risks. I highly recommend you stay out of crypto exchanges. These things have been popularized by billionaires over the past 2 years and sold to you on all Super Bowl commercials. Learn about what crypto is. Get yourself an actual crypto wallet. Keep your things safe in that wallet so that way the government can't track or know exactly what you have. That was the beauty of crypto this entire time, was freedom from not just your local government, freedom not just from taxes from your local government, but freedom from the world's eyes and the world's governments. Crypto had the ability to change everything, and politicians, they realized it, the WEF realized it, and FTX collapsing, Voyager collapsing. Sam, I believe that you are part of the operation at this point in time, and I am going to continue to investigate this. If you have any news that you would like to share with me, you can reach me at greg@americaemboldened.com, EMBOLDENED.com, or you can reach me on Twitter. Send me a direct message or just comment on the post at Real Greg Bolden, B-O-U-L-D-E-N. Would love to take in some of the tips that you have. I appreciate all the people that have been sending me things as it is. I'm keeping my eyes open at all times. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening today. I know you had many things to listen to, but you chose to be here with me, and for that, I'm grateful. I'll try to give you some more coverage on what this means for Trump here in the coming weeks, as well as continue to follow up on what's going on in Poland yesterday into today and tomorrow. Bring that story back, and as I find more out about FTX, keep it right here on American Bolden. We'll be covering it. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your day. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.